Black and blue, blue. I go to say black and blue, blue.
Bad songwriting.
Love you.
I was smoking strange when I met a penguin. Goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Deranged Penguin Podcast coming to you direct from San Antonio, Texas, and also Laurel, Mississippi. Population 14.
15. 14.
Yeah, we 15. Just added some. Yeah.
Sweet.
Every time Dell walks out of the room.
As they want, yeah. There's a guy that flicks it. Fuck.
Sit down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are sans Brad. He is hashtag Dell. He didn't show up. For work today, and
I think he chose his bed over us.
Yeah, God, what a loser. That's why America's in hell in a handbasket. I never quite understood that.
We're
like,
already
what is,
there.
Like, why do we have to specify a handbasket? Like, does that make it worse? Is there something wrong with handbaskets?
Yeah, because I mean, no, if you were traveling, would you want to travel in a handbasket?
I guess.
Be kind of cramped, right?
I mean, but if it's big enough to hold the entire world, it's big enough.
Barely, yeah, though, right?
But isn't it like happily, like, you know, or like, you know, you take a handbasket for on a picnic or something like that? Like, we're just lolling our way down into hell, going to hell in a handbasket.
But I feel like when people use it, they say it like they mean like
demeaning.
The handbasket is a bad thing?
Yeah, like.
I mean, I think it's like a condescending.
Like, totally and completely to hell.
Maybe.
They may be saying it with that tone. That's just because they don't know what a handbasket
is. I mean, that
yeah, that
be.
May be the modern connotation of it.
It's like people that say they could care less, but they mean, you can hear their tone, they couldn't. I could care less. Like,
here we go. Let's see what Wikipedia has to say.
Then you care. Thank you.
An allegorical locution of unclear origin, which describes a situation headed for disaster inescapably or precipitately.
Hmm. Totally and wholly. What did I say?
So we don't know.
So
nobody
why?
Knows.
Why does it mean that?
Nobody knows. It's an allegorical locution of unclear origin.
That made no sense.
So it's BS.
Man. That made no kind of sense.
We should change it then.
Since we're without
Brad. Maybe because it's maybe it's just alliterative.
How do y'all want to go to hell?
Are you having a hard time with English?
Hey, man, I'm tired.
Maybe it's just alliterative.
And I've had a glass of wine.
Man,
what else starts with an H that can hold things? We're changing the phrase. We'll keep it alliterative.
Hella in a handmaiden. How about that?
In a handmaiden?
Yeah, that sounds terrible. See, already you cringed at it. There you go.
To make it
maybe
sexual.
She's smuggling us off to hell. See, exactly. There you go.
In a balloon.
About riding riding off to hell on the handlebars.
I guess, yeah.
Now that sounds joyous.
Is that the purpose of this phrase? So we could feel like, God, we
I don't
feel
think
joyous
it's supposed to be.
I really don't know, guys. I don't know what it's supposed to be. It's unclear, this origin.
How about hell on a handkerchief?
Okay, yeah. I don't know. Like, how did you, like...
Riding to hell on a hockey puck.
Well, that one's okay. Well, that one, I like that.
Like we're being fired off to hell.
Yeah.
Slap shot to hell.
Yeah. Slap shot to hell on a hockey puck.
That's our new band name.
Only in Canada. That'd be a Canadian band for sure.
Why not slap shot to hell, eh? Yeah, I like that one. I like that one better than a handbasket. Because honestly, until you like talked about that like picnic basket, I was like, oh, that's a handbasket. So, yeah, I didn't even know. I didn't even know if that would.
You've been picturing all these years.
Got a thorn, basically. I don't know.
A grocery basket?
Yeah.
They say hand basket, and you picture the largest basket you can?
That's the only basket I really know. I don't really have a whole lot of baskets at the ready in the file cabinet up there, you know?
Okay. That's cool.
I didn't have a guy indexing all the baskets ever. Just, let alone hand baskets.
Alrighty.
I mean, I feel like the grocery basket is mobile. You know, you're going in there. That seems like something you would go in. I don't know. It just, that's how it works over here in my brain, ladies and gentlemen.
We're not surprised.
If we were to turn this episode into a karaoke episode, what would be your karaoke song right now? Mine would be Stone in Love by Journey, just because I have it in my head already.
Wait, what'd you just ask?
What's your karaoke song of choice right now?
If you were forced to sing some karaoke.
As a sober person or after I've had a few drinks?
No, right now, man, in this particular episode.
That one glass of wine that has lost you your literacy.
Hypothetical.
There you go. Let's alliterate everything we do tonight.
I don't know if you're going to be able to do that, let alone introduce
it. I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody is my go-to karaoke song.
Are you one of those people that says that when people say, let's go karaoke? You're like, oh, sure, I will karaoke.
Oh, karaoke? No. It sounds so dumb. And I don't think that's the right way to pronounce it either. Like, I think the subtlety of the language is lost on Americans. I like Unchained Melody. I think I sing that pretty well.
Like Elvis, who basically just made it his own?
No. Moody Blues, who the Righteous Brothers, I mean, who actually sang it.
Was it their song or was it an older song? I think it was an older song, wasn't it?
It may be an older song. They made it famous. So.
Yeah, I know the Righteous Brothers. I know, was it Hall & Oates? Did they do it too?
Did they?
I don't know why I think that. But then
why
Elvis.
Why did you say that?
Elvis did do it. Susan Boyle did it.
And so anybody that did it on a game show, it doesn't count. It's not like a...
It was written by Alex North.
Sweet. Who's that guy?
I don't know.
Unchained Melody.
So my karaoke song right now, I'm going with Moni Moni.
Yeah.
I think I hate that song, but it's in my head right now. It's nice and chanty and obnoxious.
You too did it.
Did they? I think I hate you too.
Does it have the jangly guitar that fucking what's name does all the damn time?
The Edge?
Yeah, fuck that. I fucking hate that shit. I don't know why, man. I just don't like it.
He's a pretty bad guitar player, but he's pretty innovative in guitar sounds.
All that's cool. I just don't like to hear it. Like, I don't wish ill upon him. I just, you know, wish ill upon the radio that's playing it in my house. God, turn that shit off. He knows that one thing. That's it. That's all he has.
That's
his
thing.
It's in every song.
I mean, you can't just accuse him of that. Like, all musicians have their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Morello has his thing, you know, yeah, when he's
but
playing.
It sounds different. I know he does like.
Yeah, it sounds like him. Wham, yeah, wham, that's how you know it's him.
It's different. It's different.
It's different.
I want to know what it
consistently
sounds like.
The same.
I kind of want to hear Unchained Melody by Udo.
Nobody wants to hear that right now.
You don't have to.
You just put that on your to-do list.
I mean, well.
No, yeah, no, really, we don't want to hear it right now.
It's fine.
Thanks. So,
sounds like he's getting ready to jangle his guitar.
We don't want to hear you narrate you listening to it either.
You didn't specify that before I started.
Jangle his guitar. Well, yeah, jangle your guitar all
that's
the time,
a
man.
New euphemism, guys. Gotta go jangle my guitar.
Oh, we're full of quality programming this show already.
Man, it sounds bad. I don't want to hear that.
Nobody wants to hear you say that you don't like to listen to it while you listen to it.
Well, I turned it off. It's funny that you said that because today, like for whatever reason, you know what it was? I just, because today's Monday, right? That is Monday, isn't it?
No.
So I said it's like Monday, and in my head I started singing To My Horror.
You started singing To Your
Horror? To Your Horror? Why would you sing
it better
to
not
your
have been
whore.
Me, and who is she?
To My Horror. A person who whores out. I started singing Ashley Simpson's Pieces of Me.
Oh Lord, I don't even know who that is. Thank God.
And
that,
really?
Monday, I'm waiting.
Do you know who Jessica Simpson is?
I'm fading.
Is it her sister?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway,
she
had that song in my
one
head.
Hit song.
Look, I don't know any of the words besides like half remembered.
What year did that come out?
2004. So I played it on my phone so I could listen to it and get it.
I almost
brain.
Called that 3 years ago. Yeah. It's Monday, right? 2007.
So yeah,
2007.
Like, yeah. So yeah, like that's I played it and that was whatever. And I was telling Gina about it when we both
you
arrived.
Confessed.
To drop our kid off, and she was like, "What?" And so then, like, I started singing. I started humming in my head the Elvis song that for whatever reason has been stuck in my head the past couple weeks. The Can't Help Falling in Love, that one. So, you know, it's like he says in that one, lonely rivers flow to the sea or something like that. But in both songs, Unchained Melody and this one. So I started mixing them up. So I had to play Unchained Melody. And I was like, let me listen to the Elvis one. And that one, man, he just really goes overboard on his version of Unchained Melody.
I don't think he says that in the other song. I think you just mashed them together.
I think they're similar enough that you could have mixed them up.
No, I just looked it up right now. So let me look it up.
We don't believe you.
Yeah, like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for I can't help falling in love with you.
But it's just that one line, like a river or a river flows.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I heard him saying it, and in my head, I'm kind of like singing it. And then I mashed it with that other version, the Unchained Melody. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had that one, and I played it. That's a little over the top. I'm not going to play it right now, but, yeah, it was he's over the top in that one. I don't know if I like that version.
He's
Gina, where do you
extra.
Stand on Elvis's Unchained Melody?
You know, I thought I didn't mind it before, but listening today, I almost couldn't stand it. It was too much. Like, calm down, Elvis.
Hey, buddy, hey.
It's too much.
It was a little bit like that when we played an Elvis album for Christmas.
It's bad.
Like, dude, this is not good. This is not good. Like, he's doing so much of a character of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't
Jingle Bells.
Buddy, that doesn't
sound
jolly.
The song's never gonna end.
Yo, E, calm it down.
It adds like five syllables to every word.
Oh, Elvis.
We should say it like that.
What?
Elvis
style.
I do like Can't Help Falling in Love with You. That is pretty...
is that the song title, really?
Can't Help Falling in Love.
All called. Of those words?
Yeah. Can't Help Falling in Love. You thought it was Fools Rush In because the beginning line.
I like that better. They should change it.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's the only time they say Fools Rush In.
So? How many other songs do you know like that? They like never say or once say the song title.
You know what? I just found out about Badge.
What about a badge?
That song. You know the song Badge? Where they don't talk about a badge at all and it never comes up when it's not even close to it?
Probably not because it's called Badge and they don't say Badge.
The Cream song called Badge was Eric Clapton misreading some notes that George Harrison had written about the song where he's talking about the bridge of the song. He misread it and thought this like, Batch.
Yeah, this song Batch is pretty good. I like it.
So, yeah.
Good choice, guys.
So there's an example to support Gina's argument. Fool's Rush In would have been a good title.
And then he was wondering why that guy names all his songs Badge. You got to get a new title, guy. Badge. They're all good, but come on.
It's your obsession with authority, man.
Sing the opening line to Landslide so we can tell how awful you are, Gina.
Take my love and take it down.
Gina feels that she can never start that on the right note.
I can't.
So she always crashes.
I always come in a little too low. So by the end of that line, I'm like, where do I go?
Take it down.
And it's just
do like Elvis.
Take it down. That's what I need to do.
So we were listening to this playlist on Apple Music today, the Tears Go By. I just randomly clicked it. I was just clicking songs as we were
Days
saying
go by,
things.
Dirty
we were
Vegas.
Saying random words, and then I was like, "Yeah, I know this song by like that," and I was playing it. So we're doing that for a little bit, and then you know that would lead me to something else, lead me to something else. We were playing "Rocket Top" by the Osborne Brothers, you know, and the kid was like jamming out to it.
She was getting down.
Rocket Top, Rocket Top, ten, and she's like jamming, dancing. It was pretty great.
That's
some old fashioned bluegrass.
Speaking of music, you know what's fun?
So,
learning songs on an 8-note xylophone.
Sweet. C D E C D.
Yeah, those little Fisher Price color multicolored xylophones. You can play those things.
You can.
Jingle bells. What else were we playing?
I learned Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yes. Twinkle Little Star. It all started
learned
because
it.
you were trying to remember how to play which song, Oh, When the Saints.
It's called When the Saints Go Marching In.
Oh, When the Saints Go.
It's called When the Saints Go Marching In. Del, can you sing it for us?
Oh,
ready?
How I'd
hum
like
the notes.
To be
ready,
that
go.
Number.
Like, you went to music school, man. Like, this is what you're for. We should just call it out and you just call out.
You
the
know
letter.
It.
We want to hear it now.
Yeah, but call
style.
Out the, like, the letter
when
notes.
When the Saints. Oh. Do mi fa sol mi do mi re.
There you go.
Mi re do re mi sol 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 fa do mi fa sol mi do re do.
Yay!
Del paid $100,000 this semester to go learn that stuff.
It's a party trick.
Finest education.
Oh, music degrees more.
Someone know the pianer. Del saunters over. That's good stuff.
Chopsticks. Beep, beep,
yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So speaking of like kids and music and shit, or like trying to figure out when we should send a kid off to learn some lessons.
Learn
and shit.
An instrument.
Did you ever take piano lessons when you were a kid? Is that how you know piano?
When I was like 11 or 12, I started, which is way late to do it. I started taking piano lessons from like a 90-year-old woman, and I had shown like an aptitude, like I had an ear, and she didn't really teach me any technique or theory, and we didn't work on like scales and stuff. She just let me pick. She's like, "What do you want to play?" I was like, "Desperado," and so, you know, she
little 12-year-old Dale.
Found me some cheap music for Desperado, and I learned it. And I learned it by figuring out what it's supposed to sound like, and then remembering how to play it by ear. So, yeah, I had a piano teacher, but
just had somebody to let you borrow the piano, basically.
I mean, she taught me some stuff, and she gave me, you know, we had graded like order books to go through, but it wasn't very strong on the technical side. So my technique. Is pretty weak on the piano.
I think I had an ear, but no attention span.
That's the case now. Like, walk off somewhere else and hit a wall.
I can't. My grandmother tried to teach me to play the organ. Me
well,
and
that's
my
boring,
sister.
Man. She wants you to play baseball games?
Yeah.
You can do that, or you can play in Del's choir. Like, those are the two things you can do.
Or you can play the Allman Brothers or Jimmy Smith.
They're dead now.
Yeah.
They're dead now. You can't.
That's That's why they're easy to play. They don't move.
Yeah, so like, yeah, I mean, so I think that you can send them off to like when they're four. It seems early, man. Like, how are they going to pay attention to shit?
Yeah, what some people say play? 3, 4.
They just learn how to sit there.
Some people say not until you're 5 because your hands are larger at that age.
Yeah.
And better able to play the keys. I don't know.
I think it's a lot of like copy games and stuff. I don't know. I mean, some kids are just like naturally, like they get it and can start studying like real piano at that age.
It's probably our kid.
Did Beethoven, he learned at 5, right? Beethoven?
Mozart started supposedly, sure. You don't, who knows with any of them? Because his dad, Mozart's dad, passed him off as being like 7 when he was 14 or something, like a child prodigy. But he supposedly started writing symphonies when he was like 5 years old. So
that made no kind of sense.
But what do you consider a symphony, right?
Yeah.
Just repeatable. Like, yeah. He did it again. He wrote that song.
I mean,
yeah. But he was brilliant. You know, he was probably autistic too, in some way. So,
yeah. Good stuff. Maybe we'll just get her a banjo. She can play some bluegrass.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Banjo is a cool instrument. That's how Jerry Garcia got started. So you're opening up a path down to LSD. Give her a banjo. She's going to end up doing drugs.
Yeah, I think like music is one of those things that you can like learn. Like you can learn the skill, but like the natural talent, you can kind of tell they have it. Pretty much any musician that I've like read about, I haven't like been seeking this out
for have the talent early.
Yeah, like they talk. Like
I mean,
even,
I feel like that's like that goes beyond music, right?
Well, yeah, like Questlove, they said that when he was a kid, that he could hear people singing off key. Like when he was a kid, he'd just be like, he would just like not like it. And they're like, what's he doing? That he just could hear it and shit. And then you know they gave him a little drum set when he was like a kid, just for fun. He's like, well, obviously this guy as an aptitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've always heard that like musical intelligence like caps at like 7 or 8 years old. So everything, your potential for learning music is already like stopped at that point.
As good as it's going to get.
So, yeah. So, and I think there's some truth to that because I think exposure, I think like, you can learn the technical skill later, but I think that just the exposure to music that I had at a young age, even before I remember, like I was listening to Beethoven as a child and a lot of Yes and a lot of like kind of out there, farther out there stuff. And I think it helps. I don't know though. I listened to a lot of like the Beatles and things with harmony, you know, a lot of like rich harmonies. And those are the things that I like about music too. And that I feel like I have a good that I'm more geared towards in music is that type of thing. So I don't know. Music's a weird thing. I think that anybody can learn music. I don't really believe in people being tone deaf. I think that it's just part of,
if you're tone deaf, like you're actually, it's like a condition. Like,
that's what they say, man. But my director at my college was diagnosed as tone deaf, and he's a good director, and he taught himself he overcame it. So
do you remember we all took that test?
It doesn't mean I'm
and
tone
you
deaf.
Turned out to be tone deaf.
I remember that test.
No, but like actually like the actual condition like of, I know, tone deafness is like being blind or some shit. So.
Like colorblind. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, and I also think, you know, like just some people, like just like anybody can be taught to do like certain physical things, like dance moves. Some people are just able to pick them up easier, and it's like right. They do them, yeah. And it looks like they've always done it. You're like, wow, this guy can just do things. You don't have to teach him. It's not like a arduous process,
right?
Yeah, I don't
and those
like
people we hate.
A good example of that is, and I'm going to sound maybe, I don't know, like I know what I'm talking about, but like black people who grew up, especially in the South, in churches and have natural ability to sing, and to dance, because they grew up dancing in church all the time, and they're in church a lot, you know, and they're dancing all the time. And that's not something I didn't grow up dancing, you know.
Yeah, we can tell though. We just looking.
Yeah,
at
I know.
I mean, there's definitely a cultural aspect to those things. Like we've been watching a lot of children's song videos with our kid, and whenever we watch videos, they're all like cartoon videos. But when we watch the ones in Spanish, like
all the
animals dance, like everyone knows how to work their hips. I'm like, dang, get it, chicken.
Yeah, the chicken is like, right. Boom, 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 boom.
I was like, man, you don't see that in the American like, English.
The Mexican
videos.
Ones are like, all like they don't even move.
They don't.
They just stand
there's
in
no
there
dancing.
Like, wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, and it's really
static. The British ones are weird,
but the Spanish one is like, but it did it.
Yeah, everybody's dancing.
And you're like, oh, and they're like
non-stop.
Shaking their little chicken, the dog, the goat.
Everybody's getting it.
Yeah, the turkey,
cow.
Yeah.
So a lot of things that get
learn that stuff
applied.
Early.
Yeah, stereotypes are really just cultural. Yeah. It's part of the culture.
Yeah.
I mean, what were y'all doing? Just standing up, looking at the board, just.
Yes.
Yeah, waltzing.
In my church?
I went to a white church.
Yeah, and if you were going to learn how to dance, you had to take like formal dance, like Italian, like ballroom dancing.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Black churches I went to, there were drums, there was a full band. The music was like the star of the show. At the white church I went to, we sang Let There Be Peace on Earth. That's about as much as we jammed out.
Yeah. For me someday.
And there was a harp at that church.
That Elvis song, the Peace in the Valley, is not good either. It's not good one either.
Dude, so the church I work at, like, all these people want to hear all these, you know, the good old songs. And you know what I've come to find out?
What's up?
Their favorite songs, every one of their favorite songs, were songs that Elvis covered at some point in his life. Like every one of them. That's what they want to sing, and that's what they want to hear. And they're terrible songs. They're shitty songs musically and lyrically. They're very theologically shallow. And they just think these are the most meaningful songs in the world.
Was it There Will Be Peace in the Valley for Me?
Probably. He Touched Me, which is a terrible name for a song. What else? I don't know.
About that.
A bunch of stupid Gaither stuff is like, it's just not good, man. So, there, my rant. Sorry. Done.
Can't get between people and their music.
Tell you what.
I totally
and you can't try to quantify it. I know that all my life. AC/DC with Adam.
Yeah, peace is a peace big, in the big Valley.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking it up. I'm looking stuff up. What's up with me? AC/DC? What about it?
If you can't try to quantify it. I didn't mean quantify. I meant qualify or put in objective terms.
What?
People and their music.
Yeah. You and I had a big...
you're just like, look. You're like, look, Adam.
AC/DC
I like terrible music and that's
objectively
it.
Not good. Led Zeppelin is objectively better than them. And you're like, AC/DC is one of the most played bands on the blah, 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 blah.
AC/DC.
Oh, guys, I hear it reopening.
And qualified.
AC/DC is good, man.
How many you saying right now?
Has
been opened.
Like, if I got any of those guys over here and I said, please teach my kid how to play the guitar. No, I'm not going to do that. But can they play a good-ass rock song? Yes.
They can play one good rock song,
yeah,
and they've replayed it. Over and over again
and
on every song
point.
That they've written on every album since that one hit is all the same song.
Hey,
over and over.
You know what? And you ask them that, and they say, "Yeah, yeah, son."
So they admit it. Yeah,
yeah.
That's fine. I respect that they are able to be commercially successful in that way, but
look,
but not good.
Not good. They're not
that
good.
It's relative, man.
Yeah,
there's a lot of really talented. Musicians, really technically sound musicians, that make shitty songs. And nobody wants to hear to play nothing.
There are,
you know
there are those.
And that was my entire point. I mean, what would...
Do you guys like Bruno Mars?
No. What would Led Zeppelin be if it weren't for all the music they stole? Musician. Anybody? No?
What was the question?
What would Led Zeppelin be if it were not if it were not for all the music they stole. No, I don't like Bruno Mars. He's similar too. Bruno Mars is a jukebox of the 80s. He's like, "Hey, do you remember?" And then he just plays it. He's like a wedding singer, you know, just playing the hits.
Pretty much.
I don't want to hear that. Tell me.
And he looks like Thriller Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Like after he starts to change.
What was the dude that did rockabilly shit in the 90s? The guy that just.
Oh.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
No.
No, Jerry Lee Lewis.
The 90s.
Sorry, I was not thinking the year I didn't listen to the decade.
Is that one person or a band?
It was kind of a thing there, but there was like the one guy, he was like blonde.
Oh, that did Cotton Eye Joe?
Is it him? I don't know. But there's not, to me, I'm saying, there's not a whole lot of difference between that guy.
Reverend Horton Heat?
Horton Hears a Who?
What are you saying?
Reverend Horton Heat, man.
You guys ever like canned heat?
Happening. What?
Hmm?
Nope.
Right. That stuff to warm yourself when it's really cold outside?
Yeah. I think you're thinking of Icy Hot.
I'm looking it up. Rockabilly.
We'll just wait here while you Google.
You can keep talking.
We should start an a cappella group. What would we call it?
So much
rockabella.
Come on, guys.
I'm not gonna listen to you guys.
It would be called. I'm gonna think of something brilliant. You just give me a second.
Okay.
I hate thinking of names for groups.
Oh, it's so fun.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah. So. Reading right here talks about how Queen did the crazy little thing called Love in 1980.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of re-kickstarted rockabilly. Ugh, it's awful.
But was there a thing called rockabilly before, like, the 90s?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Don't lie.
Yeah.
I don't think there was.
I mean, look, they tried to revive swing, and it was long dead, guys.
Sure.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah. Squirrel Nut Zippers.
I can't find the fucking name.
Neo Rockabilly.
Look, my point is that he's basically that guy. Basically that guy.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
Reverend Horton Heat.
Is that his name, man? I don't know. Who are you talking about? It just you're just saying that. I don't know who that is. I feel uncomfortable every time you say that.
Here, I'll send you the. This is the guy. It's got to be the guy. What song?
I'm just singing. Anyway, look. All right. So that's enough about fucking rockabilly. No, I don't like Bruno Mars. I don't really like any of his songs.
There you go.
Morrissey? Not even
that guy.
No. I don't know, man. I don't really like. I feel pretty much. When a genre can be defined, it's done. Like, it's over. And, like, it's like I like Texas Southern, like, Texas rock. Like, I mean, you think of, God, I thought I was being sleepy right now. The, what is it, like, Sweet My Sweet Little Baby, the Pride and Joy.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean, a lot of that music, I mean, it was good. I don't want to hear anybody playing that or the new versions of that right now. I don't want to hear you do your take on that. You know what I mean?
What about somebody like Gary Clark Jr., who's really kind of pushing it into a new thing? It's because this doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like that, but it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where it's kind of tough. It's like I don't really like everything that he does, but I do like what he does. We kind of had a similar conversation about. What's his face that tries to be the new Bobby Darin?
Michael Bublé.
Yeah, Michael Bublé.
But he's not doing anything new. Gary Clark
Michael
is like
Bublé.
Doing new things within an old genre. Bublé is just
Bublé.
Doing Black the Bublé. Same thing, Black and it works, just not as interestingly.
Yeah.
Bublé.
Black Bublé.
Man. Michael Bublé.
Black blue blip. I go did say black blue blip.
Black blue. This is like an SNL level thing right there. Oh man, we gotta make that into a thing. We just learn it.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, I think there's people that come by and like sweep it all up, this nostalgia, and go, hey, do you remember this? And then they do that, and then you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. It's cool. And then I'm waiting for the people to do a version of like grunge music like that, and they're like, oh, this sounds like shit that you used to listen to, guys, right? And then they play that. I guess we gotta wait for like, you know, all of Pearl Jam to die. You know, because this is kind of what needs to happen. Because like rockabilly shit, you know, was happening in the '90s, and I was like 40 years after everybody was done. I mean, they were done. There's like a couple people still playing, but they were really done, and they had been done for a while. I don't know. I don't really like those kinds of things. Although maybe I can appreciate one done well, you know. I don't know. Like, did you like? So I say that, but then I did like Amy Winehouse doing takes on old
Janis Joplin type stuff. See, I think there's a difference in somebody being a relic or a replica of it, and a different and somebody taking an old style and making it new again. You know, like Brahms took like a lot of the stuff that Bach was doing and made it fresh and inserted it into the modern aesthetic, and found a lot of success in that.
They're really picking on. Pick some things that everybody on this podcast can relate to. Everybody, in our audience.
Yeah, I'm like, trying to keep it. Right, I'm trying to keep it relatable. Really, yeah, Brahms and Bach. Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody. He's Bela Fleck and the Flecktones playing jazz, you know, or expanding the, still keeping jazz alive in a real current way, and not just versus a jazz band who's just doing like jazz tunes from 50 or 60 years ago, you know? Yeah. And in the same style and still doing bebop and stuff like that, you know? Or you could even say Miles Davis, who started out playing the old kind of standard stuff and then created bebop and created cool bop, you know, and or took bebop and made it cool, you know, cool jazz. And so I think there are those people who are still innovators who even can take a dead style and revive it and incorporate it into a modern way. And there's a difference, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're all agreeing with each other. What are you looking up there, Gina?
I'm still trying to figure out what band you were talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, do you have the image in your head?
It's of
like
someone.
Some blonde dude.
Reverend Horton Heat.
Black or blue, black. Yeah.
What did he sing?
Isn't it the Chris Isaac? Is it that? No, the
what's up?
Rock this town.
Rock this town.
Rock it inside out. The Stray Cats. I think that's who it was. Is that who it is? Yes, these fucking people.
The Stray.
They're just called Stray Cats. I think it's them.
But they start. That's a Brian Setzer, man. Brian Setzer. He's from 1970s and 1980s.
Well, that's when rockabilly was like.
That is rockabilly though, but not the 1990s.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I had the time.
True that.
There you go. Same deal. Point remains. They're all black and blue.
Blue Bay.
Do you like Bruno Mars? I mean, he's a good musician. I mean, I'm not going to say he's not talented. Dude is.
Yeah,
I don't really like
him. I don't deny it. I just don't like him.
I don't like a lot of his music, but I like him as an artist because I think he's creative and I think he's very talented. And I really came to think that when I saw him at the Super Bowl and he was like playing the drums, but not just like perfunctory playing the drums.
Playing.
Yeah. I was like, shit, this dude's actually pretty talented. Justin Bieber too. I can't stand that guy, but he's a pretty talented, like
musician,
proficient musician. Yeah.
Yeah, those things are always refreshing.
But what does your music suck, kid?
Oh.
Yeah. Because he's just letting other people tell him what to do to make money. And that's all he's worried about. He's a sellout, but he's a talented sellout, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Guess, man, aren't we all kind of selling out in some ways? Anybody here doing what...
I'm not looking down on him for selling out.
Do you guys all know Harry Styles is British? Anybody know about this?
There's Up to the Moment Gina.
Turns out.
We saw Dunkirk. Dunkirk.
I want to see that.
It's good as shit, man. It's fucking good.
That it is. Nolan, man. The golden touch.
Yeah, we saw it at the IMAX here in San Antonio.
Not at IMAX?
San Antonio.
San
Antonio.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
How many George Strait songs do you know?
Could I name a bunch of George Strait songs?
Like, could you probably name one? Because I couldn't name a one. I knew
something
one.
Like Hello. There's some like Hello song.
Some song where he says like Hello.
In the title.
So one that I kind of knew was apparently his famous song is Amarillo by Morning. And then the other one is, or one other one. He has a shit ton. Apparently, everybody knows George Strait's song. Is the Check Yes or No?
Yeah.
That's when you knew, Gina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Check Yes or No.
You had me from Hello.
Was that after the movie?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You had me at Hello.
What's up?
But I think like he's a very familiar sound.
I guess, man, not to me. You know what's funny is that when people sing a song that you've never heard before,
we're going to talk about how people can't recognize him.
This song comes from the New York Times article that came out in the past week, where they're talking about George Strait, that he's been an institution since, you know, like the early '80s, and only now is his drawing power waning, subsiding, like mostly on radio. He's had a number one hit every decade and, you know, like basically every year almost, except recently where he hasn't had one. And they're just kind of talking about how it's finally waning, that, you know, he was a hat act and he surpassed them and he was just, you know, he just kept going. But there is a funny little story there where they said when he takes his hat off, nobody recognizes him. He lives here in San Antonio, it turns out. But like he was in Florida recording at a rinky dink recording studio, and some lady runs up to him. She's like, he's sitting outside of the studio, and she runs up to him and says, "Hey, is it true that George Strait is in there? Because my husband says he is, and I don't think George Strait would be at a tiny little rinky dink studio like that." And he says to her, "You know, ma'am."
Hello, darling. I think it's the song that I'm thinking of.
He says, "You know, ma'am, I was just in there, and I didn't see him." And she walks up. So
and that's George Strait saying that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't lie to her.
I think that. Yeah.
Yeah, I recognize him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I know what he looks like without a hat, because in his later years, he didn't really wear. He would not show up in a hat very often.
So that's the thing. He's like he's now in his later years.
Right.
But he always wears his hat on stage and all that other stuff. I think I knew him just from that crisp ass shirt that he always wear. He always looked uncomfortable. Always felt like maybe you shouldn't wear a shirt so constricting, man. I don't know. You don't need to look like you're gonna go out and lasso anything right now. Like immediately after the show, I gotta go wrangle up some cattle. I don't think you need that look, but whatever. Is he bald?
No, he's not.
What are you looking at? You're just looking at random dudes?
Well, I was gonna show Dell a series of pictures.
Yeah.
And one of them was gonna be George Strait.
Oh.
And see if he knew. And then I happened upon an article, 15 country stars that are unrecognizable without their hats. So I was like, who else don't we know? I don't even know who Dwight Yoakam is.
He's a actor/guy. That's a genre where I don't know anybody by any. But so I was saying, what's funny to me is like, because that's one where like people will often sing, like my uncle will be like, "You don't know that song?" And then he'll say a series of words, And it sounds silly to me. It's like, there I am. You know, I'm like, what the fuck are you saying, buddy?
That's not... Is that Tim McGraw?
Nope, that's Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackson, yeah, okay.
I don't think I would recognize him, I think, with a hat.
He looks like that guy that's in the parking lot with his giant truck. That's it.
Who's this guy?
This is all riveting podcast.
I don't know. Is that George Strait?
It is.
It looks like Sting.
He's pretty indistinct looking, though, I'll say.
He is. He just looks like old guy.
We were at...
that's how that game goes.
Trivia at a bar last week, and the last round was all... They just played 20 seconds of a song, and you had to write down who it was. And they played... I was very impressed with myself, because I'm not... I don't know country music.
I think that should just sum up your life there.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with myself.
Del Smith. My autobiography would be Del Smith, An Impressive Life. Daddy, don't take the girl. Don't take the girl's name. It's all on Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
Childhood. Yeah. They played that. I nailed it. Nailed it!
I would have got that one.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
You guys are children.
It's a good song.
It's emotional, man.
Is it saccharin?
How do you pronounce that word? I don't think I've ever pronounced it.
You can tell.
Saccharin?
Saccharin.
Can I say saccharine?
Saccharine.
Sure, no. If you want to be pretentious.
Sure, I will. There you go. That should be mine. Do you want to be pretentious?
A pretentious life.
Like Adam Martinez, I chose pretension. Dale, quote unquote, I was very impressed with myself.
Adam chose the road less traveled.
Oh man, yeah. I'm especially proud of my Opie haircut right now. That's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not even just everything's up country. I just don't really like a lot of the
raised
modern country.
Up on it.
Modern country is like terrible.
It's because you weren't exposed to it.
I can't. It sounds just pop. It sounds like dudes that have to sing country, but really actually listen to hip hop, and that's what they're playing, and like that sounds good. You know what, I actually do like old ass country and western music.
Yeah,
like full-on bluegrass, you know, from the mountains type shit. I'll listen to some of that.
Think bluegrass and hill country music is different, but I like
I say that because like all of that was within the genre country. Like the radio genre.
Yeah
I know what you're talking about.
What's the dude's name, man? Smokes
Gerald
a lot of
Ford.
Pot.
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson, yeah, that whole outlaw country or whatever. I like all that stuff.
I can't listen to Willie Nelson until he's dead and people will stop liking him already. Then I can go back and listen to it.
What's his
big song? On the Road Again, probably.
Okay.
On the Road Again. Here
but
I am.
Poncho and Lefty. Do you know Poncho and Lefty?
No.
Oh my gosh. Listen to that song.
That's a song.
That's a tearjerker.
Sounds
right
like
there.
Like a
too.
Ragtag team.
Yeah, I mean, but like I can't listen to all this. What is it that they do to their voices that makes them sound like they're slightly whiny all the time?
It's just a put on.
Yeah.
Nasal singing through their nose.
Yeah, you just do it. That's the thing that gets me about musical styles and people who sing in certain ways, like you're just putting that on, like you don't have to sing like that.
Yeah, I don't like everybody doing a vaguely
and
British.
People are taking on that style now.
Like they add extra syllables to love, then they say like love.
Love.
I don't like that. And that's how you know I'm turning into an old coot.
Why are you saying
and that's
like
fine.
That?
You know.
But usually,
John Legend kind of ushered in that style. And now everyone's doing it.
It's like a
usually people don't, like, people who are discovered aren't trying, they're not like, well, I'm going to sound like this style. They say, I really like the way Janis Joplin sings. And so I try to sing like Janis Joplin. You know, I sing Janis Joplin songs like her, and then that's all you know how to sing like. So when somebody asks you to sing, everything comes out that way. And then eventually some of yourself pokes through your real personality. We've talked about this kind of thing before, right?
Yeah.
About emulation. And then you have to emulate for long enough time before your own style kind of comes out. Yeah. But we talked about it with Michael Bublé, but a lot of times it's
like Bublé.
Michael Bublé. It's suspended animation because somebody finds you and exploits that aspect of you until there's nothing left. And you don't ever get to develop into your own sound.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and, like, that's the thing is, like, the choice that you make to do that, to continue to do that, is kind of a practical one. I mean, you know, you could stay true to your art and then be playing coffee houses the rest of your time. Or you can make some cash.
Cash.
and do it.
Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash. I like Johnny Cash.
Name five Johnny Cash songs. Ready, go.
Ring of Fire. Hurt. I mean, he redid Hurt, if you want to count that.
That's fucking... That's
Folsom Gina. Prison Blues.
No, that counts. Yeah, Folsom Prison Blues.
Gina named that one for you, so you still need to name four others.
Wait, dude, Hurt counts. Do I know the names of them? It's that song that he did the duet with his woman.
Jackson. The one we sang to you as we were going to Jackson?
Yeah.
The other Jackson, right?
So that's not the song I sing enough.
Oh.
Just because I don't know the names of songs. I don't know the names of
a lot
of songs.
What's the other one that they did?
I don't fucking know anything, man. I feel like you're just lying.
Shit.
I thought of Jackson again.
What
was another duet one?
I don't know. They did a couple of them. I mean, honestly, like, my great-grandmother... played Johnny
Walk
Cash.
The line.
Played. You're just looking at the movie soundtrack now.
Mm-hmm.
My great grandmother played a bunch of Johnny Cash songs for me, and I liked the Ring of Fire. I thought it was funny. I was also 5 years old. I liked the Ring of Fire and Walk the Line. I thought that was funny too.
Boy Named Sue.
Boy Named Sue. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you know when I watched Walk the Line, I was like, oh yeah, I like these songs.
Get Rhythm.
Get a rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm.
I'm trying to figure out what that other duet was.
Walk the Line.
It's not Walk the Line.
It is Rusty Cage. Walk the Line. Oh, is that... That's that Rusty Cage, right?
Yeah, he redid Rusty Cage also. That's him.
It's like, dang, he did that song first?
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
right here.
You guys figured it out?
Johnny Carter and June Carter singing Walk the Line. That's a real song, guys.
We know it.
You ain't walk no line.
Ow.
But people like him.
Walk hard.
Even like the father of country music. Shit. I can never think of his name.
Wait for you to say something.
Who is it?
It ain't me,
He's
babe.
From Meridian.
Is it Amy,
father
babe?
Of country
Jimmy
music.
Rogers. Like, I like Jimmy Rogers. I like his sound. I just don't know his songs. I know he has a lot of songs called Yodel, whatever, Blue Yodel.
We're looking for baby.
Miss the Mississippi and You. But I don't know the names of the songs. I just know I like listening to that style of music, like them sing and the way they present music.
Yeah, I know a whole bunch of songs and I don't know who sings them.
Mm.
Like what? Name a song.
You could play me any song and I'll sing it. And then you're like, who's that?
Just because you listen to like oldies radio for
So I can name
years while you're in Idaho.
All those songs, but I don't know who sings half of them.
That's true. That makes sense.
Yeah, I could probably tell you who sings a lot of things if I'm listening to it, but I don't know the names of a lot of songs.
All right, you guys.
What about what don't you know?
I don't tell you guys what I'm talking about. I'll tell you that much right now. So what did we learn? We learned that Dell watched Walk the Line. That was cool.
He Googled Walk the Line.
He Googled Walk the Line. There it is. You know, did you know that
Johnny
Cash
like...
looked surprisingly like Joaquin Phoenix in his latter years? and June Carter was actually an actress.
Did you know that Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were Johnny Cash's backing band for a whole tour? and album.
I did not.
Cool, I guess. I mean, I
what
don't
year
know.
Was that?
I gotta say,
I don't know. Earlier in their career in the 80s, like, I think. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers? Yeah, I'll say it. Holy shit.
They have their own station on satellite radio.
I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, how do I block that station?
How can you not like the greatest American rock and roll band?
You know,
he doesn't like the Beatles either.
I don't like the Beatles.
That's, oh my gosh. That explains everything. Right? Everything. Everything is explained.
I find the Beatles boring. I'm bored by the Beatles. I mean, like, do they make a couple songs that are good? Yeah, one or two. One or two songs that are okay.
Oh, I'm coming to San Antonio, and the whole time I'm there, we're just going to listen to the Beatles. I'm going to school you. We're going to go.
You want to talk about a band? Let's talk about the Monkees, guys. Nah, I mean, I'm not the hugest fan of the Beatles. It's not really my thing. I guess that he's silly crazy. Game. If you are a Elvis fan or a Beatles fan, I'm more of an Elvis guy. Well, I fully acknowledge that Elvis is a clown. I can enjoy watching.
I used to consider myself an Elvis fan, but the older I get, the more ridiculous he seems to me.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense too. But also, I can't get behind fucking Beatles. I just get bored by the shit.
I'm what behind the fuck? The Beatles. Is this fucking shitty? Fully behind the Beatles.
No, thank you.
It's just great music.
Whatever.
There's just too many songs.
It's okay music.
What's not to love?
It's amazing.
A lot of the music, a lot of it's not to love.
Pretty much all of it, from beginning to end, is great. There are a couple of bad songs.
You know what it is?
Octopus's Garden is not a great song.
What is
your favorite Beatles song?
Familiar music. It's familiar. That's it.
I think A Day in the Life is probably my favorite song. It's the one that ends with the orchestral stuff ascending. I guess, on Sgt. Pepper's. What's yours, Gina?
I'm trying to think of the title right now. I put myself on the spot.
Yeah, you did.
I
love the Beatles. That one song they do.
It was about holding hands or something. no, what song is it? Oh, give me a second.
None of this is the song.
Wait a second. What about you, Adam? If you had to pick a song?
When the record ends and it goes... and it goes, sweet, it's over.
It.
Can play something
that,
else.
The End and Golden Slumbers is a great song, too.
I especially don't like any of their fucking psychedelic later shit. Get that shit off the record.
You know what you're talking
if
about.
I had to listen to something, it would be the short songs that sound more like jingles. Like help, because they end quickly, you know. Help, help. It's over, done. Like sweet.
That's not that early of a song.
Whatever, man. It's fucking done quickly, okay. You know.
I remember. Do you want to know a secret? That is my favorite Beatles song.
Oh yeah,
what is it?
Do you want to know a secret?
That's pretty far. It's pretty.
Not
it's a deep
tell.
Cut here.
It's a great song.
Close there are up. A lot of great songs. If I Fell, If I Fell is an amazing song to you.
What? If I Fell?
If I Fell in Love with You, would you promise?
I like Yesterday, but what I mostly like is like the instruments in the background rather than anything else. The particular instrument. I mostly like the cello. That's really what it is.
Give you that.
If I listen to that song, I
You're
immediately...
cello man?
I play some Bach cello suite, so... What is it?
In My Life is also really good. It's up there.
On My Life in the Ghetto, is that what you like? Is that song? Speaking yes. of In the Ghetto, Elvis did a great song about the ghetto. It makes you laugh because you're like, what the fuck is happening here, Elvis? This song is dumb. And then you realize you just had a great time. Thanks, Elvis, for showing us a great time. Now, I mean, I don't know. Like, Gina likes the Beatles. The Beatles are not. They're not bad, but...
They're not the worst.
But...
Maybe they'll catch on.
I never choose a Beatles song. It's always Gina selecting the Beatles in this household.
I just don't know how anybody can't appreciate that everything they listen to has come out of the Beatles. Everything that you listen to, except hip-hop.
No, I mean, I think that's the like one of the funnels, but that by which everybody's listened to a lot of pop music. But the Beatles were listening to a lot of American music before that, and I like that stuff. And so the parts that match up with some of the older things that they liked, that's what I like.
But yeah. you like grunge and metal-y type stuff, and that's all from the Beatles, man.
Yeah, again, like what I'm saying is like they share a common ancestor, and I mostly like that common ancestor. Like, I mean, we're talking about like the bluegrassy music or these old cowboy standards or like really, really standard blues songs. Those are the things. Those are the raw materials that the Beatles and a lot of the British Invasion bands, you know, gathered and turned into this poppy stuff. And yeah. I know, like, a lot of later bands liked the poppy sounds and, like, the technical abilities of the Beatles, and they took a lot of inspiration from there. And I don't begrudge them any of that. But I think what I mostly appreciate about them is the underlying stuff there.
But they also, I mean, legitimately created chord progressions that didn't exist before, that were wrong, technically, quote-unquote wrong and backwards, and did things that you couldn't do in music and made music out of it that other people didn't latch onto and became their own styles.
Yeah.
They were creators, not just assimilators.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I think there's a lot of people in music history. Like, if you go talk to somebody, if we sat down, a musician that we liked, and we're like, who do you like? What is it? They'll start naming, like, yeah, those people. And then they'll start naming other ones. Yeah. They'll start naming other ones, other bands that you never heard of before. They're like, they just really did this some weird thing, and I really like that. And I listen to a lot of this weird shit. And you're like, you know, and you don't know that you're getting some of that. We, you know, you and I talked about that as it relates to like hip hop and things, just like phrasing. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you listen to a guy and you think that's where this one phrase or this one thing came from. But you don't know that that guy was actually listening to so much
something
more other
else.
Things.
Like
sure. A, yeah, 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 yeah.
And I mean, like I'm saying, I don't discount any of that. Right. I mean, but I can still not like to listen to the Beatles.
You and can't.
So. Yeah, I do it all the time. Like right now, it's fucking happening.
You cannot.
Yeah.
Listen.
My new goal in life is to convert Adam into Beatles.
Good luck. It's not like he hasn't been around Beatles songs.
Yeah, it's in every fucking commercial. And
I play it. They're usually not out loud.
What's the latest, the most recent time, aside from when we hit play, that I've listened to a Beatles song? It was in the Justice League trailer when they played the Come Together shit. And
what about Rocky Raccoon, man?
Yeah,
or
man.
Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, man.
Or...
Yeah, man.
You want to name some other things? I guess it is my bedtime. I guess I could put those on so I can quickly fall asleep and be bored. You know what's funny is I've had so many people that I've been close to that really just like diehard love the
Beatles. How about Eleanor Rigby?
No, man. I just get bored by that one, too.
Here Comes the Sun.
Here Comes the Sun. While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
I like Prince's
Blackbird
version of it when he did it at the Rock and Roll Hall
well,
of Fame.
Prince destroyed that guitar solo. That's one of the best guitar solos ever.
No, the While My Guitar Gently Weeps is a boring song. You know, it's like, gently we.
I saw her standing there.
And then
there.
Just like, fucking shit, let's get on with this, man. Because I'm about to aggressively weep. Yeah. It's like, fuck.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Good. That one sounds corny. Sounds like a cereal commercial. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Like I said, a lot of it is familiarity, I think. A lot of people really like it because they're just familiar with it. Because the people that grew up loving this shit were playing it all the time. They're like, oh my God, the Beatles. And so they like, my mom really loved the Beatles. And so
some
I associate
people,
that.
My mom did not like the Beatles.
Yeah.
She
That's
did
why
not.
I liked mom, I guess.
And when I was young, I thought I didn't. I was like, yeah, I don't like the Beatles either.
But like, take for example, like Journey. Journey is not really that great.
No, they're so terrible.
Like, yeah. But I have a soft spot in my heart for some Journey shit because my mom would play Journey. Now I know this. Like I am fully aware of this dynamic here. It's more like I associate it with the good times, family. We're all hanging out. My mom's like playing her favorite song, right? She's like, look at this faithfully, right?
Yeah, we know how it goes.
Like, she's playing that, and I'm like, you know, just mostly that. I can listen to it now, and it sounds kind of over the top and corny. It's almost too generic rock ballad of the era. But I like it. And to me, is all I'm saying is, like, open your eyes, ladies and gentlemen. The Beatles are just fucking boring. They're just in every commercial. That's why you like them.
No.
Or it could be. You could be.
Because none of those songs that I like are in the commercials. I know. And the ones that are my least favorite.
Yeah.
You could also be reacting against the, like, production value of the time. Because you like My Guitar Gently Weep, the modern version of My Guitar Gently Weeps.
No, not necessarily.
But you said the old song is boring.
No. Like the Beatles songs, like them singing it, they sound boring. I get bored. But the production value of the time.
That's why it's great walking music.
No, I like a lot of like 60s, like all the time. Like
listen to the Beatles.
Mono recording stuff that happened. All that. I enjoy it. It's not the Beatles.
What about With a Little Help from My Friends, dude?
I like Joe Crocker's version.
See,
because he put some emphasis on it, and he's not boring. you know what? I really only like the beginning part of it, and we know why I like that, because it was the Wonder Years theme. That's really good.
What about Sergeant Pepper's? Out of tune,
huh?
Sergeant Pepper's.
That one, Sergeant Pepper's.
I never liked the fact that they have to say the whole thing, and I'm just like. Like, you guys are just, you guys have no, you're just doing it just to fill some time now, right? And I just.
Do you like the Beach Boys?
I like the Beach Boys, all right. No, I mean, the Beach Boys really took a lot of liberties with previous stuff. I was reading the other thing.
Beach music in general?
I do like some
beach rock.
But, like, a lot of Beach Boys music was just, like redone.
The Offspring.
What's his name? I was going to say Johnny B. Goode music. What's his face? The guy that just died.
Which one?
Berry. Chuck Berry riffs. A lot of it, like, there's even one that's just a lick for lick, you know, repeat. They're I was going to say, the one about the beach and the guitar, but it's all of them.
Beatles songs? Beach Boys. What was I going to say? Oh, so speaking of the Beach Boys, which reminds me of Christmas music. Are you guys excited for Christmas? Does anybody else get, like, in the mood for Christmas, like, July?
In July?
Like, every year.
Isn't that a thing, Christmas in July?
It is, because the feeling just comes over you, and then I always realize, oh, it's July.
I think it's more like people are like, fuck, it's hot. I can't wait till it's not hot. Hey, Christmas. That's the progression of that thought, I think.
Maybe.
I did have that thought while I was in the... I was sweating. Like, I was putting on pants and I was already sweating. I was like, fuck, it's so fucking hot.
But see, I'm not tired of summer yet.
What it's going to be when it's cold.
I'm not looking forward to being cold or wearing, like, breaking out the sweaters and stuff. But I'm just excited for Christmas.
I don't care about Christmas. But I haven't thought about Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I'm not excited about Christmas at all. I'm excited about winter. No.
There you go.
So there you go. Adam doesn't like Christmas. He doesn't like
Mr. Contrarian.
I like the winter and sad music.
That's your second book.
Part two.
There was called the Oh Death, you know? That's a good song. Great song, guys.
That is a good song.
Oh, you died, I didn't.
Yeah.
I ceased to be. On that note. Is it bedtime?
I think we're done.
So is this episode Deranged Penguin, colon, the musical?
No, it's Blue
Bay. Because that's all we've talked about is music the whole time. Blue cool. Bay.
Musical musings.
Speaking of, I'm playing this weekend at a brewery in Laurel. Brewery.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. You gonna live stream it to our listeners?
I could do that. That's playing some jazz and funk.
On Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
What are you going to play?
We're playing some Miles Davis. We're playing some Meters.
Can I make a request right now?
Yeah.
Can you play Love Me Tender?
I will consider it.
Just do a little stop down. Just like, right, everybody's going to take five, and then you just do, you know, your acapella
version. Yeah, maybe. We're doing like some Steve Miller Band and some Allman Brothers and some things like that, too. So a little jazz and funk and then a little... rocks.
Who are you playing with?
Some guy I met.
Sweet. That's cool.
last week, and we started talking. We hit it off about the same. We had a lot of the same stuff, and I was like, "Dude, I play." And he's like, "Well, come play with me."
The two of you, or does he have other members?
It should be a full
Rush.
Cool.
You can do like Rush.
No Rush this time. I mean, we're not getting practice. So. Rush. Okay, I hate Rush. I think Rush.
You don't slap at a bass.
It's weird. Like, some people were like really like, I've always thought they were like okay to listen to, and they're kind of fun. But I never was really in love with Rush.
Yeah, same. Take them or leave them.
Yeah.
I think they're a dark mark on the progressive rock genre.
What? I don't see. Why did you think that about that? I don't think that. It's so harsh. For the Rush guys, man. They're in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Defend Rush over the Beatles?
Yeah. I mean, right now, I'd read, like, there's, 5,000 Beatles songs. I'd rather listen to, like, the three or four Rush songs.
What even ever?
No way, dude.
Nope.
All right, guys. I'm out of here.
Love me tender. Love me sweet.
Penny Lane, dude. Penny Lane is a great song.
Right?
I'm just bored by that song. It's like, oh. Penny Lane, live in my ear.
This guy.
You're real bored.
Never gonna understand you, Adam. Maybe that's why we're friends. Just, you're an enigma.
I don't know, man. It just, they just seem like jingles to me.
That's to me, like, you say that people like the Beatles because it's nostalgia and it's where they grew up and they just heard it. I think that you associate that, have specific associations with them from your childhood and think of them as jingly or whatever. And that's why you don't like them.
I mean, yeah, I see, but like,
bam.
No,
reverse psychology.
No, like,
your mind.
It's not just that. I mean, because I considered that too. Like, at various points in time, like, there's a time I hated Led Zeppelin. I hated Led Zeppelin. Like, I was like, I don't even get it. I don't understand music that doesn't have a chorus. Like, how could you have a song called this and it doesn't? Like, how can you have a song called Dire Maker and it never says Dire Maker in it? Like, I didn't get it, right? And it took me a while to get around to it. So I figured the Beatles would be kind of the same thing. Although I feel like if you're a child, the Beatles would be more like your thing because it's like children's music, you know? Wheels on the bus go round and round. Penny Lane and M.I. It's the same shit, man. It's fucking boring. It's simple. Simple shit. So I was like, okay, eventually it'll hit me and I'll like
Penny Lane is Wheels on the Bus.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. Like I said, there's a couple songs I'm like, yeah, you know, like Yesterday.
Oh, like, Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite.
I don't know what that is, man. I don't think I know that one.
Exactly.
That's it. That's the key to unlocking all of it. I get it. I do want to hold your hand now. I don't know. So, like, it's just, like I said, I don't hate them. I just don't love them the way everybody else does. To me, they're just another band. And I know that's, like, sacrilegious. It's fucking blasphemy to people. Like, oh, my God. You can't believe it. It's just like, dude, they're just like another band to me. I'm like, fucking Beatles? Nah. Let's listen to the what you call it, dude? I'd rather listen to anything else, man. just not my deal. I think it was like a classic songs playlist, and I skipped over all three Beatles songs. Like, nope.
See, I was just about to say, I don't think there's a single Beatles song that I would ever hit skip on that they wrote.
I don't think I could say that.
I think Help. Help Forward, I think. No, I Hard Day's Night.
What gets me through a Beatles song is the fact that it's going to be over pretty quickly. The early ones. Like, Hard Day's Night is 2 minutes 33 seconds. So I'm like, okay, I know this is going to be done pretty quickly. All I have to do is just grit my teeth and bear it. Done. But like the later ones.
Hey, Jude.
Because Magical Mystery Tour and Yellow Submarine both have some weird shit on it that I don't really like listening to. They're just like instrumental things that they didn't even write.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need them just fiddling around on the guitar.
Here, There, and Everywhere, dude. Goodness gracious, that's such a great song.
I like the beginning to Hey Jude. That's about it.
Then Norwegian Wood.
This is him doing like the thing about the country songs, you know? Like, you're on my truck today, right? I'm like, nah, man, fuck, don't do anything to me. It doesn't sound like anything to me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done. We've ended the show like 5 times, like Lord of the Rings Part 3.
No. Yes.
We love you. We love you. We don't all love the Beatles, it turns out. But you can respond in, and you can tear me to shreds. It just means that you're listening and that you love me soon. You care about me.
And much like the Beatles, we've torn ourselves apart. So this is the last show.
That means Brad's dead.
I guess.
Over.
Bye.